You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm Joanne Rideout, your host. We're here in the studio this month with Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and Tawny Massey. She's a case manager with Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we are here today to talk about long-term care options around the region and explain to you what that means and what the options are. And why don't we start with you, Tawny? Can you tell us, for our listeners who may not be familiar with this term, what is long-term care and why would someone want it?
Well, long-term care is care that someone would need to either stay in their home or to go to, if they need more care, like adult foster home or assisted living, all the way up to nursing facility. And it's just care that they're going to need over a longer period of time until they pass away.
So what are some of the reasons why someone might need long-term care?
Well, if you're elderly and you're in your home and the goal is to keep you in your home. That's the major goal, is to keep you where you're comfortable and where you want to be. But if you are having some issues like with walking or with toileting or those kinds of things, then we can get a home care worker in to help you either through an agency or through the Home Care Connect website. And that way you can stay in a situation that is comfortable for you.
So then if a person, say, listening to this, feels that that's something that they need or someone in their family needs, they could just call your agency or call Doug's agency. So just to explain to people on Senior Moment, we generally talk about senior issues, but this one is a little broader this time. It's not necessarily seniors who might need these services, but we try to cover both sides of the Columbia. And so Doug represents the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, which is Washington State, and Tawny represents today the Northwest Senior Disability Services Agency, which is Oregon. So we're going to be talking about both things today. But before the show, Tawny, when we were talking about the fact that even though long-term care is a senior issue, it isn't necessarily one. So why would someone who's not necessarily elderly need these kind of services?
Well, if you're younger than 60 for our agency, then you would have to be disabled. So either you and for us, it has to be a physical disability. I know there's some things out there for mental health, but we cover the physical disability. And or somebody's been in an accident, and so they have a traumatic brain injury, or there's alcohol or drug-related illnesses that makes a person not be able to care for themselves, either in their home or they need to go to adult foster home or assisted living for extra care and monitoring.
So then people could, if they were interested in this, contact each of your agencies, and we'll talk at the end of the show about how you would do that. But let's talk about what the options are for long-term care. So you mentioned the best case scenario is if a person can stay in their home. So let's start with that. What are the kind of services that a person can get in their home without leaving?
If they meet the service eligibility or service priority level, then they could have a home care worker come in. We have the family caregiver support program also that if you're caring for your person and you need respite or you need, like to go on vacation, but you can't take them with you, there's funds available for that. There's also available is like in-home care, different levels of it, for someone to come in and help you with your ADLs, to help with some housekeeping, bathing, those kinds of things. Once the assessment is done, it tells you how many hours you'd get. And there's two home care agencies in our county. There's the Clatsop, I think it's Clatsop Home Care, and Caring for the Coast, and you can hire a home care worker through there, whether you're on Medicaid or private pay, or you could go onto the Home Care Commission website and put in your profile and then pull up home care workers that are eligible, that have gone through the state certification in our area, that could help you. And that's for private pay or for Medicaid also.
Okay, so you used a term before that I'm not sure all of our listeners know, and that's ADL. What does that mean?
It's the activities of daily living.
Oh, so there's an evaluation that goes on of how able a person is to take care of themselves. Okay, so what is it? So, Doug, let's just talk about the peninsula. What is it like there if someone's trying to find a caregiver?
Well, it's the same thing. We have both agencies and individual providers. Individual providers are contracted through the state to provide services, but they're actually the client is actually their boss. They don't work for us, but we do the contracting for them and background checks and that kind of thing. And they're unionized, and they have benefits, but they're able to come in and be sometimes more flexible than an agency caregiver. And they'll come in and help with everything from bathing to toileting to helping you transfer, preparing your meals, doing your laundry, whatever needs to be done. And it, too, has an assessment. The assessment will determine, well, first of all, it'll determine if you're eligible for Medicaid, and that's a financial determination and a physical determination. So, and it, again, the algorithm develops how many hours a month they're eligible for, and then we start talking about looking for the caregivers. And the individual providers can take them to doctor appointments and help them with the housework and, you know, everything from dusting to bathing, you know, if it's needed.
And so that sort of, you know, it seems like there's some vetting that goes on both sides of the river with, so if you get, if you go through either of your agencies to find a person, that, does it give you kind of any kind of a guarantee that the person is reputable? Oh, go ahead, Doug.
No, absolutely. I mean, we always get a little nervous when we see ads in the paper, invalid looking for someone to live in my home with me. It's like, yeah, don't advertise that. You know?
Yeah.
But if they go through us and they go through the individual providers of the registry, they all have background checks. And if they haven't lived in the state long enough, they also have fingerprint checks. So especially where we are, you know, someone can go from Oregon to Washington, and it used to be you would just do like the Washington State Patrol or Oregon State Patrol. Well, they could have gotten into a lot of trouble in one state or the other.
Right.
So now they do fingerprint checks. They also are required to have training and to be in Washington to be certified with a healthcare authority.
Well, that's kind of reassuring because it is a little daunting, you know, because I haven't, my father's elderly, and luckily he has a lot of care from people that we know who he's hired to come in. But it would be kind of daunting to have a stranger come into your home like that. So that's really great.
And that's where the STEPS program comes in. And it's a program, I'm sure you guys probably have it too, where they train someone comes in and helps the employer or the consumer to ask the right questions and how to set good boundaries with your home care worker, because they're in their home with you all the time. And so sometimes it gets a little enmeshed into, you know, they're kind of like family. And so,
Right.
Like, well, you know, they might be on their phone, but, you know, they care for me in other ways. But the STEPS program helps you set good boundaries to be an employer.
Oh, okay.
And then the home care worker is the employee.
So then the STEPS program is a program that you could refer people to once they call your agency then. Is there something similar in Washington?
They're similar. We have forms and teachings that we give out to ensure them of their rights and responsibilities.
Right.
And agreements to monitor their individual provider.
Wow.
And we also have, if someone's going to do it private pay, we have an entire pamphlet that how to hire in home care. And it has a sample background check that you can use. It talks about keeping the boundaries, you know, so that this is a professional caregiver. Mm-hmm. It's not your daughter, your client's not your grandma, you know, you're a caregiver. And it also talks about setting schedules and tasks.
Well, let's get on to a little bit more of an expanded way of thinking about this. So someone perhaps doesn't have the option of staying in their home or doesn't want to stay in their home, as we've talked about before. Tony, what are some of the options going outside the home for somebody to get this kind of long-term care?
Well, in Clatsop County, we have assisted living facilities. Right now, we have 5 assisted living facilities. One of them is private pay only. And the other 4 will take private pay or Medicaid. And we have 2 memory care units, one in Seaside and one in Warrington. And then we have 9 adult foster homes from Napa to Seaside, Gearhart.
So what is the difference? Say, let's start with assisted living. What does that mean?
Assisted living is essentially where you have your own apartment. The facility will help you with, like, if you need to get up and down from your bed, they'll be there to help you get up and down from there. They manage your medications. They make your meals, 3 meals a day. They have, well, the one that I oversee has snacks that are available, you know, for if you get in between. But if mostly you're in your own apartment, but you have someone there if you need it. So when that happens, it's kind of a lower level of care. It's like the next step. I would say that a adult foster home is the next higher level of care because there's usually only 5 that are in the home, and you get more one-on-one care, and it's more of a home setting, but your need is higher.
Mm.
So, you know, you get it faster because, you know,
there are fewer people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so then in assisted living, then you also mentioned memory care. Do you talk about that, what memory care is?
Yes. We have 2 memory cares, and it's most, I'm trying to think, I think both of them are locked so that if you have someone with dementia or Alzheimer's that wanders, they can't leave and elope and, you know, be lost.
Okay.
And we've had a couple of people here in Clatsop County that have wandered off and then been in pretty tragic situations. They didn't pass away, but they were in pretty dire straits once they found them. And so those are, you know, you have to, for us, you have to meet the service priority level of cognition. You have to have, I think, 4 of the cognitions have to be full assist for you to be eligible for the state to pay.
So what does that mean, full assist?
It means that you can't help yourself in those.
Okay.
You need someone all the time to help you, like with memory or with adaptation or judgment, those kinds of things. And so the facility takes that on for you and makes those decisions for you.
And so, oftentimes it's something that, like cueing them.
Mm-hmm.
With some of the dementias, as they begin to, as that progresses, you know, they may be standing in their room and they think that, you know, they start to go, well, I got to get dressed, and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you have to kind of cue them to, okay, let's pick out your clothes. Okay, now you need to comb your hair, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that, like you said, keeps, you have to have that sort of constant supervision.
Right.
And especially the point that Tani made was the wandering.
Yeah.
That's a very, some people are fine and just sort of stay in their little area, but a lot of times they're going to pick up the kids from school or something, mm-hmm. or wherever they click back to in their mind, and they're gone because that's important. They have to do that. So facilities need to be able to deal with that.
Or they think they're going to work.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
In their mind, they're going to work and they get their lunch pail and, you know, they're kind of gone.
Go out and find the bus.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, sure. Well, Doug, can you talk a little bit about the facilities that are on the Washington side for these kinds of things?
Well, we have assisted livings, and in Washington, we refer to the adult foster homes as adult family homes, but it's the same thing.
Right.
And basically, they can have in Washington up to 6, but they're small. It's a family home. A lot of one-on-one attention. Most of the time, you're sharing a room with somebody else. But there's all that socialization because there's common areas, and they can also bring in nurse delegation to come in for nursing needs and that type of thing. And I think it's an important point that you made, too, that this is kind of adult family homes in our minds are kind of the next step below nursing facilities because the need is higher and you need more supervision and more care, and it's not like, okay, I'll come in for 2 hours today, and the rest of the time you'll be fine.
Right.
You know, that doesn't work. And we also have the assisted living facilities, and they work on different levels of care. There's 3 levels in Washington State of support, but they're not, they should never be thought of as skilled nursing facilities. There's just different levels of support. Okay, we know we have to go down and actually wheel this person into the dinner room, or we have to just go remind them, that type of thing. Some of them accept pets.
Wow.
If if you're capable of taking them out, you know, to go to the bathroom. Others just, you know, refuse. So it really pays to check them out, not just online, but actually go see what they're like.
Yeah.
Because they are like apartment buildings, and each apartment building has, you know, their own personality.
I just want to take a moment and remind everybody that you are listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. I'm your host, Joanne Rideout, and we're here in the studio this month with Doug Schaefer. He's with the Olympic Area Agency on Aging, and Tawny Massey with Northwest Senior and Disability Services. And we're talking about long-term care options for people who are, in many cases, seniors, but not necessarily people who have other issues that cause them to need extra care could take advantage of these programs as well. So the next step up from this, which is probably not quite what we're talking about today, but our facilities where people have 24-hour care, like my father has been in them briefly at times. There's Clatsop Care here in town, and then there was a place in Kelso, Longview, that he went to. And that's a different sort of thing, isn't it, where it's nursing and doctor supervision. So what's the difference between a thing like this, long-term care? Maybe, Doug, could you talk about
that? It gets kind of gray if you think about it, because assisted living has 24-hour care, but it's not skilled nursing.
I see. Okay.
Excuse me. So the nursing facilities, those are ones, they're actually becoming more and more rehab centers. Mm-hmm. It used to be
rehab,
back in the
that's
day,
what they call them. Yeah, right.
Back in the day, they go, well, they went to the home, or someone put them in the home, and you went to this place, and you stayed there forever. Now, there's still some of those that people will live out their life in, but that's really become the exception. Generally, they're in there for short term, and they need that skilled nursing. They need that 24-hour care. They need doctors on site. They need that kind of thing until they get to a point where they can start physical therapy or whatever to rehab and then come back out. But nursing facilities or rehab centers are skilled nursing needs. So that's how that's met there.
And that's just a higher level of 24-hour kind of medical supervision of a person.
Yes.
They can't handle other things. Okay.
That's a good way to put it. It's 24-hour medical supervision as opposed to just 24-hour support.
Okay. So then as we're thinking about all this, so it sounds like there's the assisted care. I'm curious about the level of privacy that people have in these places, because I know when my dad was in the medical assisted place, he was sharing a room with a complete stranger. So, Tawny, can we go back to you? So in assisted living, which is the first level, do people generally have their own place, kind of?
Yeah, they do. They have their own apartment. Mm-hmm. And at least the ones here in Clatsop County, they have you can lock your door. I mean, staff have a key for entrance in case of an emergency, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But for the most part, if you can go to the dining room and eat. If you're on Medicaid, they don't really pay for you to bring your meal to your room unless you're sick. Because that costs extra, of course.
Sure,
but
right.
You can have your friends over. You can have your own TV. You can decorate your room however you want to. You have your own bathroom in there. You don't have a stove, but they do have microwaves. So if you want to heat up whatever you like, burritos, bean and beef burritos, if that's your thing, and, you know, have your snacks or whatever in your own room. You can have whoever you want in there, and they really can't monitor your not having people there.
Okay.
They can't tell you, no, sorry, your friend can't come unless they've been, you know, 86th for a kind of a thing, but you know, as far as like, even if you know, you can have your friends there. Some of them will let your family stay. They have rooms where your family could stay there if they don't have money for a motel for a night or two, not a month.
They can't move in with you, but you do have that. Okay, so then when you get into the family caregiver situation, not family caregiver, but the foster care situation. That seems a little different, though, Doug. Do people have their own rooms? I mean, you mentioned usually share.
Because it's an adult family home, so it's actually a home. It's somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the room is really limited. And I don't think I've ever run into one where each person has their own room. It's usually two to a room.
Mm-hmm.
And then the common areas are there also. So the assisted livings are really more like an apartment building.
Yeah.
There are common areas. Some of them have gyms. Some of them have libraries. Some of them have, you know, different things like mm-hmm. that. But, yeah, you can always just go in and close yourself in. But they do expect people to come out for meals and stuff. And if someone is habitually sort of hiding in their room,
yeah,
there'll be a lot of encouragement to increase the socialization because isolation is never good.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's just kind of, I mean, I think what you said before, that people really need to go and go to the place and size it up and see whether that's what they're really looking for. Or
oh,
what
absolutely.
They, yeah.
Absolutely. And talk to not only the staff, talk to the residents.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And know who your person is, because, you know, if you have a person who is like knows that they can't survive on their in their own little environment, then, you know, like I had a client that he's like, no, I need to be in the adult family home because I need people around me. I need someone checking on me more often. I need, you know, so that was his choice, even though his level of care wasn't higher. It just he.
Right.
Couldn't face being in charge of himself in an assisted living.
Good point. Yeah.
So in this case, one of the questions that I always like to ask is who pays for this, so that people know going in what it's, you know, maybe not, we're not going to be able to talk about exactly what it's going to cost them because that varies. But you've mentioned private pay and Medicaid, and maybe Doug, could we start with you? How do people pay for this?
Well, there is long-term care insurance. And I can't speak to that in any detail. I assume that the more you pay, the better the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't run into any that run the whole duration that you might need. And not that it isn't out there, I've just never seen it. So a lot of times people will go in, and if they have a nest egg or they have some assets and they have some money, they'll private pay if they're not Medicaid eligible, low income. They'll private pay, and if they are in there long-term for the whole duration, then eventually, if it's a facility that accepts Medicaid, then the social worker on site will work with them to apply for Medicaid as they spend out their own assets.
Okay.
So, because it could be anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000 a month, depending on the type of facility you're at. The memory care,
right.
Like you mentioned,
it's
runs
more
higher.
Expensive, yeah.
And but it's, you know, probably minimal $100 a day. So
yeah,
it goes quick.
So then people need to, would, as you've said, that term, spending down their own resources to nothing really, before, and then they might qualify for Medicaid.
Right. Medicaid requirement, you can only have liquid assets of $2,000.
I see. So, okay. So then would that require, so Medicaid, how much, maybe you don't know this, but I mean, would that require somebody moving to a different place if they were on Medicaid?
It might, if that facility doesn't accept
them. Doesn't accept them, right. Okay.
So one question, I had a client who sold a house, and she went over resources. So I told her son, because he wanted to move her, I said, then what you need to do is check and see if, yes, we're private pay now, but when she becomes Medicaid, will you keep her?
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
some people... Some
in that facility,
won't.
Right.
And you can do through our, I don't know if you guys have it, but you can do a resource assessment for, like, if you're married. So that, because there's the you can't impoverish the spouse law. And so they have a resource assessment you can come in and do with an eligibility worker. And it tells you, you know, the wife, you have to spend down this much. If it's the husband that needs the help, you have to spend down this much. And then the wife gets to keep this much. And then he's financially eligible for Medicaid.
I see. So then that's an interesting point to bring up. So there's that a law that protects the surviving spouse from being impoverished by the spouse.
And there's certain things. I mean, you can have a certain amount of money for a burial plan set aside. So there's certain things that they won't look at and the reassignment of assets and income. So, yeah.
Well, I think one of the things I always like to say on this show is that, you know, people often feel alone when they're going through these kinds of things with their families or just as a person alone trying to handle this. And these two agencies, the Northwest Senior and Disability Services Agency in Oregon and the Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington, they're tremendous resources. And they're often the things that I've found out in the process of doing this show for a number of years now is that there's help that you don't know is there, that you think, oh, nobody's going to help me with that. And then if you just go in to these agencies and say, here's my issue, how do I figure this out? You will find out that you probably will get support that you didn't even think was there in these programs, because there's a tremendous amount that is available to you, and some of it is not income dependent. So services are just there, and people don't access them because they don't know they're there. So
Well, one thing I'd like to mention, too, about
sure.
when we were talking about the cost is sometimes people that are already on Medicaid and they go into a facility thinking, well, that's okay because I still have my Social Security. And all of your income goes towards the cost of care.
Mm.
And then the state picks up the rest and you get the stipend of, I think it's $62 a month now that you get to keep, but everything else has to go to the cost of your care.
Okay, so your disposable income would change in that kind of a situation. Okay, well, that's good to know. But then your living expenses are being taken care of, so there's a lot that you wouldn't be worrying about anymore. I think we're kind of at the point in the show where we could talk about contact information. You know, if somebody's sitting out there listening and wants to know, you know, maybe you're driving, you don't really quite remember what we said, here's how you can contact these folks and get more information. So, Tawny, why don't we start with you? If someone wanted to find out more about what we've been talking about today, where would they start?
With our agency, you could call the ARDC, which is the Aging and Disability Resource Connections. And that number is 866-206-4799. And that's whether you need to apply for Medicaid services or if you're private pay. They have a book called Directory of Services that they could send you, or they could walk through with you like what's offered and what's available to you. They might refer you to our local office in Warrington, or they might just send you information from the phone call.
And if somebody is, say, driving and they can't write this down, they could just look up the Northwest Senior Disability Services.
Right.
Can you give the website for that just so people know?
Well, we have a group website, which is nwsds.org.
Okay.
And you can look up on the website there, and it tells you, like, by county who to...
Oh, good. Okay.
Because we have five counties that we actually cover. We have Clatsop, Tillamook, Polk, Marion, and wherever Dallas is.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. And so that, but I think, you know, I mean, so anybody, and if worse comes to worse, you could just Google Northwest Senior and Disability Services and that would pop up. So for people who might not maybe listening and passing to this and they can't write it down. So Doug, Washington State, what do people do there?
Well, in South Pacific County in the Long Beach Peninsula area, the number is 360-642-3634. And in North Pacific County in the Raymond South Bend area, the number is 360-942-2177. And our website is o3a.org.
Okay, great. Well, I just want to thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
A senior moment. I'm Joanne Rideout. I've been in the studio this month with Tawny Massey. She's from Northwest Senior and Disability Services in Warrington, Oregon, and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging on the Long Beach Peninsula, but also representing Washington State. And we've been talking about long-term care options for seniors and younger people in our area, what to do if you need more care than you can provide for yourself or that your family can provide. You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next month.